We're going to hear from God's word now, from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13.
So think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, "You must be holy because I am holy." And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favourites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time as foreigners in the land. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But he has now revealed him to you in these last days. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth, so now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart, for you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever, because it comes from the eternal living word of God. As the scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord.
The human body is an incredible thing. Right? Think about your body for a moment. It's amazing, isn't it, how it works. You know, when you learn something new, I don't really claim to understand this stuff. There'll probably be biologists here who understand this better than me. But when we learn something new, all sorts of amazing things happen within our brain, the way we store that information, the way that new links happen. When you do something that you haven't done before, your brain kind of memorizes it and all this stuff happens that enables you to do it again. You know, if you want to learn to play guitar, to do an example that I am, you know, I don't have to think anymore, how do I play a D shape on my guitar? I just know, I just think D and instantly my fingers go there. How does my brain actually do that? I haven't got a clue, but it does. And similar things happen in terms of physical development. If you want to become physically strong, you do things and somehow your body knows how to build itself up to make yourself strong. If you practice, let's say something that I've never done with any seriousness, lifting weights, your body adapts so that it is able to lift weights. You get the point I'm making here. We do something and our bodies, or if I may say so, God, does something incredible so that we learn the ability and so that we get strong. So if you want to learn how to do something, you have to learn it gradually. And gradually we build up the muscles, we build up the links in our brain so that we are able to do it. And of course, along the way of learning how to do something, there are often very big sacrifices. From time to time, people come to me and they say, "James, I would like to learn to play guitar. If it is a girl, and forgive me for being sexist, but this is normally the issue with the girls more than the boys. If it's a girl, I've developed a standard first line. When they say to me, I want to learn guitar, I say, show me your hands. And I look at their hands and I say, right, you have a choice. You can either keep those fingernails or you can learn to play the guitar. But you can't do both. It's astonishing how many at this point decide they'd rather have the fingernails than actually go with learning how to play the guitar. So when we want to learn something, there are sacrifices that we've got to make. There is work that we've got to do. But when we pull this together, something amazing happens. It is a very similar thing within the body of Christ. One of the mistakes that believing people sometimes make is we think that if we wait for God to change us, then God will change us. It doesn't work like that. It never works like that. It doesn't work physically. It doesn't work mentally. And it certainly doesn't work spiritually. If we want to grow, there is stuff that we've got to do. If you want to run fast, start running. You want to lift weights, start lifting weights. Yeah, get somebody who can be a trainer to make sure it doesn't go wrong. You want to learn a musical instrument? You want to do anything? Practice it. And if we want to learn what it is to grow together as the body of Christ, there is work that we've got to put in. But the great promise is that if we do that work in the same way that if we practice guitar, something happens in our brain and in our hands. Because even in learning guitar, there's lots of muscle training that you have to do to play it well. Something happens when we practice. So when we practice doing the things that God has called us to do, we get stronger at them, we get better at them, because God is doing something. Okay? So we're not saying on the one hand, just wait for God and do nothing, because that doesn't work. On the other hand, we're not saying, right, go ahead and do loads and loads of stuff and don't let God do his work. Okay, one of the things that's true about running, I have learned, is that when you are learning to run, you don't run too much too quickly. Because in a strange way that my son has tried to explain to me, when you run, you actually damage yourself, but it's in the healing that you actually get stronger. So you must give enough space for the injuries that you have, which will happen, to heal. And the thing that we are called to do as a church family, more than anything else, is that we are called to love each other. It says in our reading today that we are to love one another from the heart. You have been born again, he says. I mean, the translation I've got here says, see to it that you really do love each other intensely with all your heart. So there is to be there could be an unhealthy intensity, couldn't there? But there is to be a sort of intensity about our love for each other. It's something that we are committed to. It's something that we do together. That's why I'm saying next Sunday, don't think that the service happens at 10:45 and breakfast starts at 9 before the service. Because what we are seeking to do is to give us opportunities to meet and to be together so that we can actually build up our relationships. Now, if you think of the human body, each bit of the body can only do anything if it is connected to the rest of the body. My fingers could play a D chord, no problem. But think of all the connection that has had to take place for that to be able to happen. I've had to learn, initially by looking at a bit of paper, what the shape looked like. I had to make an attempt to get those fingers down so that the sound was cleared. I had to practice and practice and practice to build up the muscle. I also had to get what you call muscle memory so that my fingers would go there without me thinking about it consciously anymore. Now, I don't know how many links there are from my finger up to my brain and back again, but it's a lot. And everything has to be connected. A finger... Exactly. A finger is useless on its own. Now, in terms of us as Christian believers, it's true that there are things that we can do on our own. We can go and pray on our own. I sincerely recommend you do. We can go and read the Bible on our own, and I recommend that you do. We can go and meditate on our own, and I recommend, if it's the right type of meditation, that you do. There are lots of things that we can do individually. But in terms of achieving what God wants us to achieve as a church family, there is nothing that we can do individually. Because God has called us to be together. We have been born again. We have new life in Christ. And it's the new life that comes to us because Jesus is risen from the dead and Jesus is pouring his life by his Holy Spirit into us. This is amazing stuff. This is the core of what we believe. This is our gospel. Jesus is alive. You could have new life in him. A life that is so different that Peter here, as other parts of the New Testament as well do, say this is about being born again. This is a new birth. This is a new start. But once we have that new birth, once we have that new start, we are called that we should be connected to each other. So when you read in the opening part of that reading today, God telling us to be holy because he is holy, the prime way, the chief way in which we express holiness is through our connection to each other. God is holy, therefore he loves. God is holy, therefore he cares about people. Some people have a very strange idea that God's holiness means he backs off from us. No! God's holiness means that God is always reaching out towards us, that God is always wanting to communicate his love towards us. We are his children. We are his family together. And what God is looking for is a group of people who have actually learned to be family together. Now, learning to be family is a painful thing, just like learning to play guitar is a painful thing. Learning to run is a painful thing. Learning to do whatever it is you want to do is painful. It is difficult along the way. But it is what God calls us to be. One family together. A holy family. A family that is marked out as different from all other families upon this earth. A family where the links are there between us simply because we are part of the body of Christ. You know, we link, some of us will have more of this than others, but we link to other people because we have common interests. But this is the common interest, and it's not just an interest. It's what God has made us to be. Why should we care so much about this? Well, one of the answers is in our Bible reading today. Because you came in to this new life through the blood of Jesus. By the way, if you don't know that you're in this new life, can I say, ask God for it. Come to God and say, God, I believe in Jesus. I believe in his resurrection from the dead. I believe that he is Lord and Lord is... Give me that new life. And then God gives it to us and he places you within his family. But we came into this new life because of Jesus. And Jesus died for us. And it says in our reading today, it talks about God paying for us with the precious lifeblood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And through Christ, you have come to trust in God. We are here today because Jesus, the one who is totally precious, totally valuable. We sung a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you. That's the one we're talking about. When we read his story, well, it's true for me anyway, I find it utterly inspiring. I want to be like this Jesus. I want to receive all the life that he has for me. And he gave up his life to make it possible. That's the cost that he paid for me, for you, for us. How do we respond to that? By loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, and loving our neighbor, and especially our church neighbors, as we love ourselves. Last time when I was speaking about love, I was saying that the word love, this word agape, the Greek word, is a word that basically means to welcome somebody. It means to show hospitality towards somebody. So a couple of weeks ago, we were looking at the idea of loving Jesus. We welcome Jesus. As we gather together, we long to know the presence of Jesus in this place. As we go out into the world, we long that he should speak to us. We welcome him. That's the basic idea of what's going on. And in terms of us loving one another, we are here to welcome one another. We're here to say to each other, I'm glad you're here. You're somebody who's important. You're somebody who's precious. So let me say it to everybody today. I'm glad you're here. You are important. You are valuable to this church family. And it is our job as a church to be expressing that to each other in what we do. Now, I must confess, sometimes I do get a bit annoyed by how late people stay after the service. But that's what church is about. You know, you can't build a close relationship with everybody who's here. There's too many people. But we can greet one another. We can communicate to one another that they are important. We can work in the best interests of people within this church. It's not just down to the people who have the job of officially welcoming people. It's down to each one of us. We're told to love, to welcome one another from the heart. Now, getting back to the illustration that I started with, you see how it works. That as we practice it, something amazing happens. You practice the guitar chord and suddenly you get it. You practice trying to learn a subject and all sorts of weird wiring happens in your brain that makes it possible. So as we learn to love, as we accept the life that Jesus has given to us, so we learn practically how to do it. I was reading something by Richard Rohr recently, who I know some of us love very much as a writer. And he was talking about modern science. And he says, if you go back a bit, science was very much about, just try and stay with this. He says that in olden times, science was about trying to break things down to see what they were. Yeah, so the idea was that if you could break something down into its smallest bit, that you would understand it. So what are things made of? They're made of elements. What are elements made of? They're made of atoms. What are atoms made of? Protons, neutrons, and electrons, and a lot of space in between. And what are protons made of? Quarks. And they will stop because I don't know any more than that. But no doubt there are things beneath that as well. But there was this chase to try and find out, like, what's the smallest building block? If we could understand the smallest building block, we'd understand what was really going on. And Richard Rohr says, and I think he's right, that science today doesn't work like that. Science today is about working out the relationships between things. So what's interesting about, say, a proton? Well, it repels an electron. That's interesting. So it attracts an electron. Thank you, James. That was a good heckle. It attracts an electron. Two protons repel each other unless you put them so close and then mysteriously they attract. And I'm not sure anybody quite understands why that is, but it's how it is. What is interesting is the relationships between things. Okay, that's where science is at the moment. Let's make our ideas about God like that as well. What matters is not who I am. What matters are my relationships with people. What matters is the way that I am seeking to love people and to be loved by other people. What matters about me is how I talk to other people. What matters about me is how generous I am towards other people. And that's how it is within the church. You want to give to the church, build relationships with other people, get to know them well, and God will do something fantastic in your heart. Because you will learn the skill, and it won't just be a physical rewiring, but a spiritual rewiring as well, so that we can be like Christ. We have been born again by the word of God. We live by that word. He speaks it into us. He changes us. Let's do the exercises. Let's be practical. Thank you to everybody in this church who is already seeking to show that love. But as it says in another part of the scripture, in one of the other letters, you're already doing it. But let's do it more and more. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the amazing way that the body works. That as we exercise, as we seek to do what you're calling us to do, Lord, you make us stronger, you make us more able. Lord, we find as we practice that we can often do massively more than we ever thought that we could. Father, let that be true for us as a church family. Lord, may we as a church really learn what it means that we can love each other. So, Father, we pray for every opportunity that we have to do that, that we will grab it. And, Lord, we trust you that you will work things within us that are more than we can ever ask or imagine. Lord, to you be the glory forever. Amen. We're going to say again the words that we started our service with. And they're actually from they're based on the next bit of 1 Peter that we're going to look at in a couple of Sundays' time. It's an all-age service next week, so we'll go somewhere a little bit different next Sunday. We're going to be thinking about the way that Jesus calls us next week. But can we put it up on the screen, please? As you say these words from 1 Peter, let God's word speak to your hearts today. Believe what it's saying to you. So let's say together, we are a chosen people, no accident, no second best, each one essential to your plan. We are a royal priesthood, sons and daughters of the King, heirs and bringers of the kingdom. You have called us out of darkness into your wonderful light. Help us, Father, to declare your praise. We are a holy nation. Set us apart to live for you, ambassadors among the nations. We are God's special possession. What delight you take in us. Help us take delight in you. You have called us out of darkness into your wonderful light. Help us, Father, to declare your praise. Amen.